Well, I get the privilege of introducing our speakers this morning. Many of you know both of these guys. Some of you may know one or the other, but we'll have two speakers. One will give a charge to the congregation, then one will give a charge to me. And so the first person that will be speaking is Pastor Chuck Steiner, who is a good friend of mine. And many of you know him. If you've been here in the last year or so, you had him as your interim pastor. And the world is small sometimes, and he was our interim pastor at Kentwood when I was there, and that's actually where you guys would attend when you weren't on an assignment. And so I got to see Pastor Chuck. I got to see just his character, his integrity, and I think the best word to describe him is his faithfulness, I think, to the Lord, and how even in this stage of life when a lot of people are kind of trying to stop doing as much stuff, he and his wife Mary Lou, they're not trying to just get out of here and lay back and relax. They are still doing a lot of ministry, a very important ministry of helping churches in some of the toughest times with healing and doing the interim ministry. So I really look forward to having Pastor Chuck. And actually, I'm going to introduce Mike too while I'm up here, so I don't have to come up again.
Is this part of my time?
No. The food is here, so nobody has to go. Nobody has to get back to a roast in their oven or something, hopefully. But also, Pastor Mike Miller, he's been removed from here a little while, but he was doing the job that I'm doing now when I was a student here. And if you haven't got a chance to know Mike, you have missed out. But today you will get a chance to see him and to hear from him. And really, anything that I do in ministry, it was heavily influenced by Pastor Mike. He was here during my really formative high school years, probably saw potential for me in ministry that I didn't even see in myself. And so a lot of what I do, I do what Mike did. That's what I try to do a lot of times. And so that really speaks volumes to who he was. And the thing that I remember most about Mike is his maturity. And that was a word I used, not because he was like, so high and mighty type of maturity, but that he had a really great sense of humor, really funny, but knew when to use that, when not to. He challenged us deeply every week, I remember as a student, but also was a very good friend, and I laughed a lot with him, and he challenged me. He was the one that kind of got me to do my first sermon in an evening service with my brother Justin. I don't think either of us really wanted to do that at the time. But we were encouraged a little bit by Mike, and now look where we're at. So I am grateful for his friendship and the chance to be rekindled with that, and through this whole process get to do what Mike is doing. So Mike is one of my heroes, and I look forward to hearing from him as well. And so those are the two guys. It was a no-brainer for me for who to pick for two people to come and speak. These two guys are just the two I would choose every single time. So look forward to hearing what they have to share to you guys and to me. And so if you guys would welcome Pastor Chuck first and then Pastor Mike after that.
Set timer for 15 minutes. My deacon stopped me then. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. It's wonderful to see you. I'm glad to be back with you for a short time this morning, especially for this occasion. If we don't remember all of your names, I do remember your faces, but we just learned 200 more new names, so my computer is full. So good to be with you. What a wonderful worship service you've had already. The music is not entertainment here. It is worship. Those hymns were wonderful. The praise and worship. I love it where grandpas and grandkids can worship together. It's refreshing to see that. And I praise you and thank you for that, or I commend you for that. I should pass along greetings from Rich McCarroll. Many of you know him and pray for him, and he's regaining his health, strength, and Ron Workman said, say hi to you. We all agree that God is giving you a gift when you've recognized the Lord's leading and bringing Jordan on staff with you. I think you, with your pastoral staff, Brother Jeff, Jordan, two J's, JJ, I think you are ready to move on into the future in a wonderful ministry. Just pray the Lord will fill them and protect you as you move on and grow in this ministry. Now, yes, I spent some time with Jordan at KBC, and I was impressed with him then, with his ministry. He began a number of unique ministries. You've all been to Bethlehem, and you haven't been there to see that trunk or trick thing, you know, brought in the whole community. And you have not been, like a lot of husbands were so thankful when they started that gift wrapping thing. And all kinds of ways to draw the community in, and I appreciate that. But I think what really impressed me, a couple of blocks or maybe half a mile from KBC, Kentwood Baptist Church, are a couple of complexes, apartment complex, that are filled with a variety of ethnics and cultures. I don't know of a church in Grand Rapids just touching that area, but Jordan started to reach into that and bring some of those into the ministry under KBC. I just say that that's a wonderful, wonderful gift. That'll show you what is in the future. I just waiting to see how God blesses your ministry. I want to give you a personal insight, too, as Jordan entered our life back then. Many of you know that my wife and I raised a set of our grandchildren. Our one grandchild, Charlie, his parents both were absent. His mother had passed away and his father was gone. And Jordan was like a big brother to Charlie and walked through those lives. Now, you can't imagine how grateful I was. Here I was 60 years older than my grandson, and when he said, "Let's go out and play basketball, Grandpa," well, I'd last about 2 minutes, but he'd go play with Jordan, and, you know, Jordan's quite an athlete. I used to kid Jordan. I really mean I kid it. I was kidding him. I said, "You come and pick up Charlie and go play something and call that youth ministry." But it was, because you know what really makes an effective youth pastor is somebody who loves the Lord and is transparent and lives his life with the kids. Loves the kids, is with the kids, and just lives his life with them. And I see Jordan sitting out on my driveway in the hot sun. They got fishing tackle spread over two or three tables trying to untangle things. And that was a ministry. So God has blessed you. It's going to be wonderful to see how God uses Jordan in this ministry. Well, I have a short moment left here. What I have? Oh, man. Reset time. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm to charge the church. Paul's charge to the pastor is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's charge to the church, I'm going to use 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians is a wonderful book to study. Paul commended them in Corinthians as a model church, an example church. He was only with them a short time. He taught them some things that a lot of churches have been together for years and don't understand. He taught them, number one, about the first phase of the second coming, when the Lord's coming for the believer. And so every chapter in this book relates to that. And in chapter 5, he's talking about the actions of the church, the way a church relates to each other while they're waiting for the Lord to come. And there are 22 instructions in this passage that I'm not going to go to. You can say amen to that. I'm going to just cover a couple that relate to the pastor itself and give you a couple of words to remember. For I'm to charge the church. I can't think of a better church to issue this instruction to, because I know that you hear the word of God, you want to obey the word of God, and that you will. You'll hear the word of God today. An installation service is sort of like a wedding ceremony. The courtship has gone through its process, the recognizing that this is, God is in this, and the proposal was given, the call was made, and God worked in the heart of both people, and God brought that together, and now we're having like the wedding ceremony. This is the official culmination of the beginning and the start of something new. I want to give you some commitments on your side of the equation to the church. Five quick words of instruction. Number one, in chapter 5, I'm going to start verse 10. Therefore, comfort. I want to use the word encourage. Encourage him, church. Every pastor needs encouragement. There'll be enough of the other kind that causes discouragement. And in this day and age, there's a lot of things that can occur that would discourage a preacher. Be an encourager. What was that guy's name in Acts? The soldier's house. Barnabas. Be a Barnabas kind of a guy. Barnabas means comforter or encourager. So he says here, number one, encourage your pastor. Number two, encourage each other and edify. Be one that edifies, that builds him up, that strengthens him and strengthens his ministry. Strengthen his ministry. Parents, wow, what an opportunity for you to grow close to this man who's going to be mentoring your children and encourage him and build him up. Who's going to minister to him? And so get involved in his life that way by building him up. Building him up. Edify one another just as you're also doing. And then, I'm going to use the word esteem. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. That is, you have already recognized God's call on Jordan's life. You have recognized that God has called him to work for the Lord, for him to be available for the Lord to work through him. Here in this ministry, you're beginning to recognize God's gifts that God has given to him to your benefit. So encourage him in his ministry. Cooperate with him. So esteem him. Recognize his office. Esteem him. I want to say, continue to encourage him to have professional growth. Make it available for him to go and be with other youth pastors or other places where they're providing professional training for him, and get him out there where he can see beyond his own vision of what things are going on. Send him to a place like Faith down in Lafayette, Indiana, that has one of the most aggressive connections with the community of any church I know. Or just find a place where he can go and be challenged himself and really to grow in his professional ministry. Protect him. Now, this all goes under the question of the comment of edifying. Protect him. Protect him from gossip. Protect him from anything that might be a danger or threat to him. Some of you young people ought to be his accountability pastor or accountability friend and gather around him and pray for him and protect him. And then I want to say pursue him. I mean that by that, follow him as he follows the Lord. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. God has brought him to help to lead your children, and he needs your help. So remember those things. Encourage him, edify him, esteem him. And then number four, enlist. Verse 12 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. He's not to do the work. He is to train those who will do the work, or that will partner with him and be involved in the work. And young parents who have kids in the youth group, make yourself available. Your home is available. Go with them. Offer yourself to be chaperones on this and that and the other thing. Be available in case he needs somebody to step in for him. You have the best of both worlds. When you can influence the one who's influenced your children, don't let that opportunity pass you. He needs a team to be enlisted, to be recruited and be involved in this ministry with him. It's not his, it's the Lord's ministry. So enlist, partner with him, promote his program. Have your children in there. Oh my, I'm thinking of so many times where as a pastor I've had to deal with a young person and who somehow is beginning to question or wander, and I'll go back and deal with them and find out all the years he was in church, he did not take advantage of the education program, was not faithful in Sunday school, was not faithful in the youth programs, and did not grow and get the information he needed. I think, wow, parents, you get yourself involved and get your kids involved. It'll be a wonderful opportunity for them to get their good foundation as they're growing up through this church. So enlist. And in that, I would say provide for him and all of his needs. And I know this church. I know that you'll do that well in the area of monetary, but the pastor has more needs than that. He needs to have that personal assurance and cooperation with the parents and other people. And then I want to say empower him. So encourage him, edify him, esteem him, enlist, and then empower him. How to do that? Through prayer. Nothing happens for the Lord but through the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, nor by power. It's not by his personality. It's not by his energy, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You pray for him. Now you older folks, grandpas and grandmas, you have bifocals or bald heads or whatever it is, you're part of this ministry. Pray for Jordan. He'd be enthused by the word, enlightened, illumined by the Holy Spirit, that he'd be energized. It takes a lot of energy to run with young people. And he's got a big program on this. There's so many people in this church and so much to do out there. And so pray that he'll have a priority and a God-directed, Holy Spirit-directed ministry in this church and in this community. Pray that the Lord will give peace in this ministry. Verse 13, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Pray for peace. You are not doing this in a vacuum. There is an enemy, and he'd love to destroy this church. He'd love to destroy your youth group. He'd like to curtail the youth ministry. That's the next church. Christopher, thank you for playing. Wow, I enjoyed that. You've grown a foot and you're growing in your talent. Some grow a foot and some grow a beard. Some grow both. Anyway, so it's like a, how many minutes I got? Okay. It's like a wedding. I just gave you your part of the commitment. It's your turn. Are you hearing it? Are you ready to enter into this covenant? It's a covenant between you, the Lord, and Jordan, just like a marriage. Are you ready to get into that covenant? You called him. You said you would. You said you'd come and take care of the Lord's work, and we'll take care of you. We'll get involved with you. So if you'll join in this covenant, church, as we establish and put Jordan into the ministry here, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Have you heard it? Lord heard it. God bless you.
Set timer for 45 minutes. I want to see if the same people sleep that used to sleep. Jordan, why don't you come on up here? It was like a youth service today, and then I remembered they're all adults now. Morning. How you doing? I'm so proud of you. I think they're proud of you too. You guys proud of Jordan? Amen. You were blessed to have him. Jordan, I thought about a lot of things. I thought about having you do some exercises or something. I don't know. But I landed on math.
Oh, no.
If you would indulge me, if you were a part of our youth ministry, whether it was as a parent or a student or a volunteer in my time here. Would you stand up just for a moment? Oh man, a lot of faces I've connected with already, some I haven't yet. So good to see you guys. Thanks very much. I was just thinking, so got that number? He's got it. You can sit down. Nope, you're still here. It's the charge to you, Jordan. So I was thinking about that, and I was here for somewhere around 4 years. You got that? How many weeks in a year?
52.
52 minus two, because I think I had 2 weeks of vacation. We're going to call that 50. He's on it. You guys got a sharp one. But they hired you for your math? That's good. They didn't hire me for my math. That's why I needed your help. 50 weeks a year times 4 years, what are you at?
200.
200, he got it. Okay, 200. Now, in my time we did, I don't know if we still do, but we did Sunday school in the morning, that's one. We did Sunday evening church, that was two. And then we did Wednesday night youth group, right? That's
600.
Three, 600, like he's jumping the gun. 600. So 600 times. So I estimate, and you know, we did VBS, and we did some youth services, and we did some things here and there, and that kind of thing. Yeah, mission trips. Student leadership team. We went to Chicago. We went to the Upper Peninsula. We did some other crazy things. Creation Museum. I estimate then that about 600 is how many times that I probably taught here. Maybe a little less. Maybe a little more. But about 600 lessons. Of all the people that stood up, what percentage would you say? What do you think? And you were one of the students. What percentage of those lessons, how many of those lessons do you think that they remember, just like got them down? You think about 500?
Close, give or take.
Give or take. I'll stop picking on you for a second. You have a seat. But I would say, and a couple people mentioned some already. That was kind of fun for me. But maybe one or two. Jordan? You know two for sure. So let's call it five just to be crazy. All right? What percentage is that? Call it six because you were at 600. So that'd be 1%. Yeah, you did it. Okay. Jordan, it is not about the lessons you teach. They won't remember. It's not. It's about the way that you love them. It's about the relationships that you form. And it's the same with parents, right? When we teach our children, we hope that they'll retain some things. But it becomes about the way that we love people and have a relationship with them. And if you'll do that in your youth ministry, then the Lord will bless that. And that will be powerful. We're in Colossians chapter 1 this morning. And I'm speaking to Jordan, so if you get something out of this, it's a bonus, but just sit quietly and we'll be all right. But we're opening the Word of God, right? The Word of God, the very Word that He, through His providence, through the years has protected and brought to us, the very powerful Word of God. We remember that when God created, He created using words. He spoke light into existence. He spoke the world into existence. And so He gives us His Word, and it is powerful. The Word says it will not return void. So I hope that you'll get something from this message this morning as well as I speak with Jordan. In fact, I'd like to take a moment and just pray that very thing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We are sinful people. You are a glorious God. Your powerful Word is truth that gives life. I pray, Lord, as we today come together to honor You and to acknowledge the office of pastor that Jordan has taken up, Lord, that You would bless Jordan and bless his congregation. We pray protection over Jordan's position. Lord, that You would bring him much fruit. You would clear him, steer him clear of sin. Lord, that he would always be learning. And Father, that his would be a ministry that makes a difference for eternity. We pray in Your name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read a good portion of it. I'm reading out of the ESV. I hope that's okay this morning. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you. And since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, I can never say that name right. Jordan, you're going to have to get that one. Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have ceased to pray for you. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present you, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, and he powerfully works within me. Amen. For the reading of God's word. I have four things to say to you, Jordan. I have a lot more I want to say, but you only gave me 15 to 20 minutes. The four things are this. One, ministry is all about Jesus. Two, ministry is a stewardship responsibility. Three, ministry requires the power of God's word. And four, ministry is an act of reconciliation. And I find all these things in this chapter. So first was, ministry is all about Jesus. Verse 1, Paul said, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. It's not by your will that you serve, but it is by God's will. He said, I will build my church. He said, feed my sheep. And that's a relief, isn't it? Because he will build his church. It's not you that we're relying on, Jordan. If this ministry should flourish, if this ministry should fail, it is not fully by you. You're responsible for your part, but he will build his church. And as he does, he will receive the glory for it. He said, feed my sheep, but he will provide the food for that. And he'll continue to provide. And so we have faith in him, and we must maintain that faith in him. Verses 11 and 12 talk about this too. It said, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience. Man, in youth ministry, you are going to need endurance and patience. With joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Jordan, you are qualified for ministry. Because Jesus Christ has qualified you. Not because of your degree, not because of your experience, not because of your family, not because you're going to be the second best looking youth pastor that they've ever had here. Do I need to say? Never mind. You are qualified because Jesus Christ has called you. And by that calling, he has said, you are enough. With you and Jesus, what more is needed? And so he has called you, he has qualified you, and it's all to his glory, not to your glory. And so if it goes well, it's to the glory of Jesus Christ. If you suffer, it's to the glory of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, it is to the glory of Jesus Christ. And we need to keep it that way, because it's not about you. The sun shines, the earth spins, and your heart beats to bring God glory. Glory to our Master Jesus. So bring him much glory. Save none for yourself. And people will try to glorify you, but turn it all to Christ. I like that song we sang today. That we'll turn it back to you. Second was that ministry is a stewardship responsibility. Verses 9 and 10 say, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. There's a responsibility and an accountability to your actions as a pastor. Jordan, the enemy aims at those who are bold enough to lead. The pain that comes from the fall of a leader, it is deep and it is wide. And I know that all of us, including myself, know the pain that comes with the fall of a leader. Unbelievers will use the fall of a leader as an excuse not to believe. Disenfranchised Christians will use fallen leaders as an excuse for bitterness against the body and against the fallen leader. Weak brothers and sisters will use fallen leaders as justification for their own sin. And where you are weak, Satan will exploit and attack you and your family. And so you must surround yourself with people who will pray for you and hold you accountable, who will hold your feet to the fire, who will ask the Lord to protect you. You must focus on the Word of God and ask Him to bring about a career of honor. It's a stewardship responsibility. Verses 28 and 29. Says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I think that like an officer in the military must present his troops at attention to his superior, in a sense, you are doing this as well. You are responsible not for the actions of the youth who you will lead, but you are responsible for doing your part. And your part is everything short of sin to get them to the cross. It says, I toil, I work. I would challenge you not to be lazy in this position. Verse 25 says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. It is the word of God that brings freedom to people. It is the word of God that has power. And you have a stewardship responsibility to bring that word of God to people in a way that they will understand it and relate to it, acknowledge its power, and submit to it. And we do all that we can, and then we leave the results to Jesus Christ. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and your students need it because never before has the world been so sin-soaked and prepared to allow for and even celebrate sin. The sword of the Spirit is needed because your students are in a battle. The Word of God is a light to our path, so we must give them the Word of God, which is the key to life. Which transitions to that third one, which was this, that ministry requires the power of God's Word. Verse 25 says the word shifting in there in my translation, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. It does not say shifting in there. Where did I find that? I wrote down the wrong verse. But it says, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. There it is. Many ministries have shifted from the word of God. They've become clubs. They've become places to have fun, but the word of God is not spoken. They've become places where the gospel is not presented. People are not invited to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I would challenge you to rise above that and to work hard to preach the word of God well. You'll never compete with the world. You won't have the technology. You won't be as good at social media with the Twitter chat thing, whatever it is. You won't be as cool. He's a pretty cool guy, but not world cool. But the world will never compete with the word because it has power. And finally, Jordan, ministry is an act of reconciliation. Back to verses 13 and 14 again. It said, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Amen. Verses 19 to 22 speak of this as well. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. Youth ministry is not about the numbers or the games. It's not about the dank memes. I just said dank memes. It's about bringing young people to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And how will they know if they do not hear? And how will they hear but by you speaking truth to them? And then also equipping them to speak truth to one another and to encourage one another as you work to create a community of young people who honor Jesus and promote the honoring of Jesus. And so, Jordan, that's my challenge to you. Will you minister in such a way that it's your ministry is all about Jesus Christ? We recognize that ministry is a stewardship responsibility, that ministry requires the power of the Word of God, and that ministry is an act ultimately of reconciliation, not just for fun, but it's about eternal consequence of people accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. I hope that you will. I think we still got a couple minutes. I wrote down some tips and tricks. Do you want to hear some tips and tricks? Is that helpful? Or should I save those for later? Just go with it. I recommend playing dodgeball against that kid. It's just a really, really good way to release tension. We were never on the same team in dodgeball. Remember that? Yeah. I encourage you to love more than you correct, but do both. Never scare Terry Jones in a dark parking lot. I did that at the grocery store. I apologize. Is she here? That's sad. She heard I was coming. Respect your senior pastor, but also prank him. Above his office, if he's still got the same one, there's this tile that you can... We'll talk. There's no substitute for student leadership. Your students can do a lot, and you should expect a lot of them. If you have a Seth Matthews in your group, don't let him wander off. 2 cups of cold water and 1 teaspoon of dish soap will get blood out of that carpet in the gym. Love your volunteers and encourage and appreciate them at least twice as much as you think you should. Put that obnoxious kid in charge of something. Works wonders. You should find an Ozzy Parks that will ask you the hard questions and a Bob Tissot that will give you encouragement. Boy, I miss his letters. You should find a Dave Parks to look up to, and you should find a Jordan Parks to challenge up into the next generation of ministry. Let your wife serve in her own way. Don't put her in a box. Don't pressure her to serve in any way, even if the church does. Also, be sure to take her out on lots and lots and lots of dates, right? Never, ever use pickles in a food fight. Don't do that. If you ever need to get rid of something quietly, ask John Matazel. There was this creepy painting that was a sacred cow, and it's not here anymore. And the last one I wrote down last night for you, Jordan, is this. Buy Geneva coffee and listen to everything that she says. And that's all I got. Jordan, it's an honor to be here. And man, to hear you call me hero is so, if I feel so honored and blessed by that. And also false. I'm not anything special, just a vessel that the Lord has used. And I've made my mistakes, and I've had my heartache, and the Lord has somehow over and over again been able to bless me and my family and ministry. And I have my family's over here, Janet, and my two amazing kids, and my other kid. No, I'm just kidding. I only have the two. But God has done much in us, and to come back here, church, and to speak in front of you and smile with you and get into God's word is very much a ministry to my heart. So thank you very much. Thank you, Jordan. I think we're going to have the elders come up now and pray. So we'll do that. Thank you.
Okay, if we can have Pastor Jordan and Angela come up, then our board members. Just going to gather around them and have a prayer of commitment. Just want to share a couple things while you guys are coming up. I've already been, so it's been a couple months, but I am thrilled with the opportunity to serve with Jordan and have relished the relationship we've developed already. We share weekly, and my goal is we have an iron sharpened iron relationship, and we love each other and pray for each other. Encourage each other and support each other. I'm thankful for our wives and the support that they are and just the challenge we can be to each other. And I'm excited about what God has in store. I do want to challenge you a little bit. Mike came up and he read Colossians chapter 1. Next Sunday we're starting an expositional study on Colossians. What he went through in about 20 minutes, plan on about 3 months. All right? So don't get your hopes up as we dig deep into the Word of God. So let's gather around. Let's have a word of prayer. So why don't you guys move out a little bit? Let's get a little circle around here. Okay, everybody had their breath. That's for good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this couple. We thank you for Jordan and Angela and Elliot and for bringing them here. Be part of the family of Three Rivers Bible Church. Thank you for Pastor Jordan and his ministry. We ask that you will protect their marriage, you will protect their family, that you will bless them, that you will use them, that you will strengthen them and equip them, lead them by your Holy Spirit into your truth. Lord, may we come alongside of each other and work well together. By that I mean all of us. As we seek to glorify you, as we seek to honor you, we are in a community that needs to see Christ. We are in a world that needs to see the love of Christ and to hear the hope of Christ and the truth of your word. Lord, may that happen in every area of our lives, of our ministry. Lord, we just ask that you will continue to bless them as they continue to develop those relationships with our young people, with parents, with those young people that they're going to reach and bring in that need Christ. Lord, may you be glorified, may you be honored, and may we be an encouragement to them and a support to them and a love